It's a Riverside County Department of Public Health and has held the position since 2002. He is responsible for leading the Special Services Division, which include HIV/AIDS, disease control, epidemiology, vital records, WIC, nutrition, tobacco control, injury prevention services, and Healthy Riverside County Initiative. He oversees more than 350 staff with a combined budget of over $35 million. Under his leadership, he has received numerous awards, including the California State Association of Counties Challenge Award for Creating Livable Communities and Inn in 2012. Mr. Oster was awarded the Distinguished Leadership Award from the Inland Empire section of the American Planning Association for his work in developing the Healthy Communities element of the county's general plan. He's also an assistant clinical professor in Loma Linda School, Allied Health Professions. Today, he's going to speak on incorporation of the Healthy Communities element into the County of Riverside General Plan update, an innovative partnership between public health and planning. Please welcome him.
We're going to take a slightly different approach, kind of the macro approach to how do you make people healthy and results of the built environment. No relationships to disclose. And we're going to talk about the need for healthy community elements in general plans, and we'll talk about general plans, explain how collaboration is crucial to creating a healthy communities element, and a small piece on the coalition process. Where is Riverside County? Just 450 miles south and a little bit east from San Francisco, and a completely different world. If the Bay Area is blue, Riverside is red and as conservative as can be. And it's a county, well, in the next slide you'll see, about the size in square miles of New Jersey. But giving you an indication of what we're up against in Riverside, here's a postcard from the city of Riverside with the freeway, the Highway 91 running through the middle of it. Who else would have a postcard with a freeway as a centerpiece? So our county, 2.2 million residents. We've been ranked number one or number two in urban sprawl. We have high pollution and smog rates. We're number one or number two in foreclosure for houses, very long commutes, and minimal mass transit usage. And then in government talk, sensitive receptors, we have lots of schools and daycare, child care centers built right along the freeway so they can breathe all that, the diesel smog as the trucks go from LA to other parts of the country. In Riverside County, the situation, 61% of adults are overweight or obese, and as you see here, it's almost 16% of teens are overweight or obese. And again, we're ranked near the bottom, 52nd out of 56 counties for our physical environment conducive to health. It's an environment totally built around automobiles. And I don't need to tell you how much we spend on obesity-related illness or on public health. So what are one of the ways we can do to change the environment? We can't do it on just programs, and we couldn't do it just on healthcare. So we really try to tackle this at the broader sense. And another picture here besides the freeway, you can see the homes jammed there together, nary a park in sight. While we can build wide sidewalks, utility companies like to build their utility poles right in the middle of the sidewalk so that if you had a stroller, you end up in the street. And I said, our rates of asthma for children have doubled in the last 30 years. So what is a healthy community element? Well, part of it is even talk about what a general plan. Every county and every city in California has to have a general plan. It's a 20 to 30 year plan of how development's going to happen in your location, what can be built, where it would be built. It includes a housing element, parks and open space, and there's many required elements, but the healthy community side is an optional element, just coming into vogue now, and I believe we are the first county in California to develop a standalone health element to address health issues. And we feel that it is part of our health status in Riverside is totally because of the way we build our environment. Roads and highways built for freeways, lack of mass transit, nowhere to walk. Just being in San Francisco for the last week, I have my pedometer out, I'm walking 5 miles a day just on incidental walking. That doesn't happen in Riverside because there's nowhere to walk to. You'd take your life in your hands. And it's just, and there isn't a transit stop that you'd be walking from anyway. So that's the challenge we face. And we had the idea, could we have common sense land use policies that could guide the future development? Our county is going to grow by 1 million people over the next 20 years. So there's going to be a lot of building. Can we build these new communities with people as the center, maybe with pedestrians and bicyclists as the center? And while our element only applies to the unincorporated areas, almost a third of our population, 700,000, live in those areas, and we can still be a role model for the other 28 cities. So it isn't just that it affects us, maybe a smaller portion of the population, but we can maybe affect every city. So what are our guiding principles? You can use how you build your environment to affect health. We just heard about asthma and the schools, and that really can be tied into the physical environment. Could you actually build a multimodal transportation system? Could you build a transportation system that wasn't just car-oriented? The idea of compact communities and mixed-use development. Our communities are anything but compact. Many of our new our cities have been built in the last 20 years. They don't have a downtown. You can have your civic center, it could be in a strip mall, it's not unusual at all. But there's no center of town to walk to. There's no community center. Could we do something to help increase the opportunity for daily physical activity and access to healthy, nutritious foods? And then whatever does get built in a community facilities, could it be done in an equitable fashion throughout the communities? And we took this from scratch without really role models. So we said, what would be the ideals to have in such a health element? Obviously, land use and community design, healthy transportation, talking about active transportation, bicyclists and pedestrians, parks and open space, opportunities for physical activity, and actually putting arts and culture in the health element as a new approach. And I'm not going to read all these, but the idea of we still had to include healthcare and mental health care. Healthcare is always included, mental health often ignored in our environment. But at the same time, the idea of livable communities and what that entails has now come to fruition, and you'll see here the overlap now where livable communities and the health element actually merge, and we're addressing both at the same time. I mean, we were smart enough to realize this may happen, but now this is really the body of work we're working from on how to define a healthy or livable community in 5 sections. Active transportation, of course, pedestrian and bicycle friendly, and then access to public transportation. Access to healthy food, and of course, healthy food and beverage choices. And the concept of community perception. That's really never been in a general plan about development before, but the whole idea of social capital, cohesiveness, cultural diversity, and schools at the center of community, which I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here about that concept. And then we can't forget that healthcare services are still important. We need to have that kind of access in the communities and access to mental health. And it wasn't until we started doing this work that we realized that people with behavioral health issues live not just 5 or 10 years younger, but on average 25 years younger than the general public. And that was very sobering for us. And then the focus, of course, the built environment, the idea of mixed-use development, which was really an anathema in our system, helping the communities to be economically viable, safe and affordable housing, which really, by happenstance, worked anyway in the county's health element, and adequate parks, trails, open spaces, and recreation opportunities. To do this, again, in a concept that our planning department found strange, we actually formed a work group to do this. And we actually involved the planning department. Now, clearly there's another county department, one of the 30-some-odd departments, but we'd actually never even met the planning director before we started this process. You think that's strange, the department heads that would overlap, but never had we. We, of course, brought our community physicians, public health, environmental health, but we hadn't really worked with the Office of Aging, which is a separate standalone department, to bring them in, and obviously the issues around aging, because our population in Riverside, we have quite a few retirement communities. Palm Springs and the cities around Palm Springs are in the far eastern edge of our county. Regional parks and open space. Similarly, we hadn't met Palm Springs and the cities around Palm Springs are in the far eastern edge of our county, but we had never worked on anything together before. Mental health, and then actually involving community representatives. And again, for planning, this makes them very nervous. They like to hold public hearings where you get 3 minutes to speak, or a charrette where you move between various stations and give your input in short snippets or with stickers. And to actually be part of a process was different for them. And this is really the crux of what we're talking about, the idea of planning and public health. Now, the county had completely updated their general plan in 2003 after 20 years of working on the same plan. But health had never been considered. We were not even involved in the previous couple of years of before 2003, which is mind-boggling when you think about it now. How could you not invite health as you're planning how you're going to build all your communities over the next 20 years? Maybe they'd never met us either. Right. So we started to learn in public health. We took classes about planning, what a general plan was. I learned general plan for non-planners. And we did a bunch of trainings with the planning department. We did a walk audit around, showed them why the sidewalks don't work, or why how the crosswalks didn't match where people walked, or impediments to just being active, or what we did in the built environment. And without a doubt, the planner said, wow, this is great stuff we learned in school, but we don't do that anymore. So we're trying to get them back to the roots of everything they were taught and try to do something about that. Now, mind you, we learned more about planning than planning learned about public health, but it got us at least to the table. And we set about working on this idea of the health element, which they weren't opposed to because it was time for them to do an update to the general plan. And as long as we did all the work, they were happy to move it through the bureaucratic process. So as you can see, it's not for the faint of heart. Our first meeting with the Plan Commission to even discuss this idea was in 2005. And you can see it took almost 6 years to make this happen. And of course, we pitched this as, oh, children can be healthier, people can walk, there'll be more open space. The Planning Commission liked the ideas. But this was a positive. The county was about to update their general plan again, and they had an advisory committee that we knew some people on, and we were able to present these core ideas, again, with the help of a consultant, so we could talk, the planner talked to them on the GPAC's, the General Plan Advisory Committee. And again, to them it was mom and apple pie, and they liked the idea. And at the public hearing, even the building people thought it was good, maybe not for the reasons we think, but maybe it would attract buyers, or maybe it's something that people who would pay more money for to buy homes. And the building community, surprisingly, was not against this. And the developers pretty much said, if we know this going into when we're making our plans, we won't oppose this because it's not expensive to put this in the beginning. It's expensive to change it at the Planning Commission level. It's too late. We've sunk our $1 million into this already. So then we were able to actually have and the other piece we did with planning was the idea of, could we present the healthcare element separate from the rest of the general plan? Because there's many things in a general plan that people are going to sue over, but they didn't think anyone would oppose health. And in fact, that was a brilliant approach, and no one did oppose health. And we did our own public hearings with the Planning Commission and later with the Board of Supervisors that all worked to our advantage to get the health element approved. And we actually needed, from the Environmental Quality Act, we had to get an approved, it's called a negative declaration, that it wouldn't really affect the environment negatively. They don't look at the positive side. And after those 6 years, it did get adopted, which was amazing to us. And now we can be that model for the other 28 cities in the county. But there are things we didn't realize and hadn't learned. There's this intersection between public health and planning. We write these beautiful elements, but the planning department then turns it into planner speak. And then county council that's the county attorneys, they want no part of it because it's not required. Why would you do this? It opens up the county to liability. And we had to learn this language. Of course, we being health advocates, everything was the developers shall do this. The planning department must do this. The county will do this. And that made county attorneys very nervous, as you can imagine. And then we set about then, over a six-month period, we had to change all the shalls, musts, and wills became shoulds. Consider when feasible, when appropriate, you may, And it kills us as public health advocates, but you realize how much do we want to die on our sword, or is it better to work that environment and just get something approved and on the books, and then you can work on the ordinances and the zoning and get it stated, and then do that, we call it the momentum of public pressure here. And it was really hard. I'm not kidding, we went line by line through, you can imagine, a 30 or 40 page document arguing over all these words. In fact, at one point we had columns of words that were synonyms. We had our thesaurus out so we could say to the county attorney, would this work? Can you live with this word? And the planning department, they said, you get county council to say it's okay, we'll get it through the system. You're doing all the work, though. And they were shocked that we actually took them up on that. But after 6 months, we got the county attorneys to approve it, all with shoulds, considers, when appropriates, and when feasibles. And that's a good lesson learned, is sometimes we can't get everything we want. If you think on the continuum, we were at 0, we wanted 10, we got to maybe 6.5. Well, that's in health, I'll take that every time, because now we have the next 20 years to turn that, to move that down the continuum. So what are our next steps? As a result of this health element, we did get a grant from the California Endowment, because we do have one of their healthy communities in our county, but we got them to have a broader picture, and we were able to hire a full-time urban regional planner in the health department that can do both the public health planning work and still work in the community that the endowment needs him to work in. And he now is an expert at translating, we call it planner ease, into health talk, and then we're teaching him health so we can explain it to the planners. And he's now working in at least one or two cities to help them with their health elements for their general plans. And he traverses both sides. And as far as we know in California, he's the only full-time planner working in a health department. And this, again, you leverage this in amazing ways to talk to cities, because cities in California don't do health, but they all have to do a lot of planning. And he knows who they went to school with, he knows their professors, he knows what goes into those elements, and we can make great headway here. The next steps, of course, the county hasn't yet done the zoning and ordinances around the general plan healthcare element, and this is news, we don't know how to do that yet. With the help of our planner, maybe we can make inroads there. I would say one good piece of the recession in Riverside is a lot of the development has come to a standstill and may give us time before all the development starts again and all the new houses are built for us to get some of this in place. We have a countywide health coalition that has now taken this on, and we are going to work with 15 of the 28 cities so that they can develop healthy city initiatives that can lay the groundwork for healthy community elements in those cities. So now we have all the health people working within their respective cities through the nonprofit side. And again, cities see this as a positive thing. Who doesn't want health? And cities have never been involved in health before in our county. So this gives us another piece of leverage. And again, if we can show our template and help the cities do the work on the health element, then we can say it won't cost you so much to do the health element in your general plan. You're already spending a lot of money on your general plan update in your cycle. We can help you do the health element for almost no cost, relatively little cost by comparison. And many cities are starting to take us up on that offer. And of course, continuing the collaboration with planning, even though they've been through three planning directors, again, if we lead the way, they're willing to follow as long as they don't have to be in front of the board or the commission on this. That's led now to conversations with the transportation people who are responsible for bike lanes, complete streets, and sidewalks. And our Safe Routes to School program now works closely with county transportation for the first time that we do projects together. And that really was a result of this effort with the planning department, because planning and transportation are in the same agency. And then the parks department is trying to get accredited there's a national accreditation for parks. And that requires them to work more closely with the health department, which then works for us as we go through public health accreditation. And we're now working on a non-motorized plan for the county that will involve parks, transportation, and the regional councils of government. This is new ground. We're learning as we go. And I'm really thankful to the endowment that we can have a planner that can help explain all this. And now maybe we need a transportation engineer in the health department as well. We have two mottos for our Healthy Riverside County initiative. The idea is build health into everyday life. And for the county health department, it's the idea of healthy people, healthy communities. Think about if we could make this work in Riverside, like here in the Bay Area, where your incidental exercise walking from the transit stops gets you half of your 10,000 steps, where you can have access to fruits and vegetables. I call it, you're healthy and you don't even know why. That's what we're looking forward. If you want information about the health element or links, if you go see your health, go see your planning department and give them this information. I'm here with the cards. We have handouts for everybody. We'd love to talk to anybody, anywhere about health elements or how health and planning can work together. Mr. Moderator. The question is about health impact assessments. This is where the red and blue county comes into play. We did send our planner to the week-long training up here in the Bay Area so we could learn health impact assessments, and he came back with 10 ideas, all of which would have got me fired. So we're trying to figure out how best to do that intersection. So what could we do on the health impact assessment? If it's about getting people more physically active and how bike lanes, so we have to tone down everything he was taught about health impact assessments and make it around physical activity. We can't say climate change, but we can talk about greenhouse gas. We have to change our language so it can work. So going forward, we hope to do that. I think a big piece of this is the health element, because that brings up what's the health position on this kind of activity. So then we can talk about the transit stop has to be walkable. You can't have a block wall between the housing community. I'm not saying it's a backdoor way to do it, but we can't do it front and center. But the principles are there as long as we don't use those words. How's that? And again, that's part of that shalls and shoulds and maybes, and what you have to make it work with different language. That's a great question. I saw another one. So champions outside the health department. We actually paid for a couple of the planners to go to the New Partners for Smart Growth conference. And well, they couldn't, within their organization, they couldn't be champions, but they could support us, if that makes sense. And they could then take the time to translate what we were writing and the health stuff and turn it into planner talk. And again, because their planning director saw that this was okay, the political environment was okay, then they, within the planning department, could help us a lot. And then working, we have two councils of governments, and working with one of the councils of government that seemed supportive was went well. It was mostly us, the health department, but again, as long as we weren't so zealous about this that it drove them crazy, then we could make that work. Responsible parties, again, because now we got the California Endowment Grant and we have a planner, that's really now we have to do that implementation phase, and that's the challenge we're going to face going forward. I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, for the first part, are there any community groups that were looking for help, you know, or hospital organizations that were also involved?
Right. So the other community groups, well, interesting, they're all on board now. The Kaiser Community Benefits people like this. But the Lung Association, we'd worked with them on asthma, but never on this. But because of this element and what the work we're doing, when SCAG, our Metropolitan Planning Organization for Southern California, all the money for transportation goes through them, They just finished the regional transportation plan, and for the first time, as a result of this and working with the Lung Association, we were invited to present at those workshops and write letters of support. For the first time ever, met the executive director of the Metropolitan Planning Organization to get the active transportation piece written in the regional transportation plan. Last time, 10 years ago, we weren't at the table. They wouldn't take our phone calls. Now we were presenting on the same panel with them. And that's really a result. We had to do this on blind faith. Now it's working out, so the organizations are coming forward. At the time, maybe we didn't know better who to involve, but now they're coming on board. So I guess my two questions, right?